And we are back. This is Right Side Radio. JP and Yaffe here filling in for Phil while he is out. But Phil will be back tomorrow, so no need to worry there. 833-687-4448 is the text line number. Let us know your thoughts. We see all the texts coming in talking tariffs that we were just discussing. We're going to get to those in a minute. But first, I think it's time that we need to cook up some home fries, which... We have a sound effect for it, Yaffe, by the way. This is not just a saying. We got a home fry sound effect.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah, it's everything is based around. I think today, being Thankful Thursday, is the only non-food based day of the week that we have. And we played with T-Bone Thursday, but it got voted down immediately. So Thankful Thursday, today's our break from food. We had to get home fries in there to bring it back.
Okay. Yeah. Good. And if that's real grease, we're not cooking it in like an air fryer. Or
no,
something.
No, that's gotta be real. Yeah, real grease.
Okay, good.
The OG. Yeah. But we're kicking up home fries, talking some local legislative sessions and what has been accomplished so far as we're coming near to the end here. At least, Alabama's goes up until May 15th. So a little bit over a month before the end of the legislative session here in Alabama. So we're going to get into Tennessee's as well. And then, Georgia's all in the listen area. But first, let's start here in Alabama. So the Alabama legislative session, I'm going to go ahead and list out to sort of tee it up some of the so-called achievements that have been touted throughout the, so far this legislative session. All right. So first we got a Glock switch ban, which, as you know, Yaffe, that's going to eliminate all the crime in Alabama as a whole. We also got the ADVA restructure, which I think every veteran I talk to has been against that bill. And
really?
Yes. I know Phil has aired it out many times on this show how he doesn't like this bill. We've had several callers call in, text in, say they're against this. But yet Kay Ivey keeps talking about how much veteran support she has for this, that restructure. So according to her, this is a good thing. But I think this is sort of a petty move. I mean, we saw what happened with the old, cabinet member. His name's escaping me at the moment. She had they aired out their beef, for everyone to see, and then he immediately got fired, and then this came right after. So it looks just like a petty move by Kay Ivey. That's like, okay, what's the point? But next, now we got the signed yesterday, I believe, the paid parental leave law, mothers 8 weeks of paid leave, post-paternal leave, and then fathers 2 weeks.
It's government workers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it was government workers, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, kind of given the teachers union, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I think it's going to cost Alabama tens of millions of dollars. It's been chalked up. I think it could have gotten a much, much better bill for that. I mean, this one looks just like California. It's like the bluest of the blue states have a very similar law to this, and yet we're in the reddest of red of Alabama, and we're still passing, stuff that goes, alongside with some of the most liberal states in our nation. But then also, this is the one that really bugs me, and I want to stick on this before we end the segment here. It looks like the overtime tax exemption is about to go away, and yet Republicans can't get on board to extend it any further.
Oh, it looks like they don't want to. Looks like it's not even getting on board. It's just they have a plan not to do it.
And, Anthony Daniels, the Democrat out of Huntsville, he's talking like a conservative on this. I mean, he's come on this show 2 weeks ago, I think it was, and talked about how much opposition he's getting from Republicans on this and how it's funny, a Democrat is trying to keep a tax cut going and Republicans are trying to stop him from doing that. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me, and they got scared. They got scared that that's a little bit too much. We can't go that far, and they're trying to say they passed a grocery tax or passed one of the chambers, I think, and that's not this is going to be a tax swap. It's not going to be a tax cut. And it's like we're going to get rid of the overtime tax. Oh, but we got a grocery tax. It's
which was going to be cut anyway. It was supposed to be.
It's mind boggling to me. And Jeff Poor was on here yesterday and. He's down at the state house, and he said, behind the scenes, there's a lot of friction with Alabama Republicans because you're not supposed to go against your team. And they see, Anthony Daniels as, he's a Democrat. He's not on our team. And it's like Republicans are scared to vote alongside with a Democrat on something that's going against the Republicans, going against the team. And it drives me nuts because I feel like that's why so many of this, like we have a supermajority of Republicans, and yet they act, mm-hmm. they don't act like one. And I think part of it is because they got this team mindset, and they're not standing on principle. They're standing on teams. And it's like, oh, a Democrat is pushing a tax cut. We can't do that. It's a Democrat. It's absolutely ridiculous to me. But before I get too far down the rabbit hole, we got to take a quick timeout. I hear the music playing there. We're going to get more into some home fries here on the other side. So make sure to stay tuned for that. This is Right Side Radio with JP and Yaffe filling in. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. This is JP here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, covering down the local, the state, the national, all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm here joined with Yaffe, who's been helping me fill in for Phil today while he's been gone. We've been talking tariffs. We've also been talking some local stuff, legislative sessions going on right now in our listening area. But first, answer some text messages that came in. So we got a text in. I think I know this is my buddy Sam from Huntsville. What's going on? He said, is it possible to cushion the blow of tariffs for a temporary period of time by using the proceeds from that tariff, i.e. on chips/technology, to jumpstart manufacturing in the U.S.? Yeah, I think that's, you know, well, at least Trump says, you know, that's a lot of his goal. You know, the external revenue service he's wanting to implement with, you know, primarily driven by tariffs. But I mean, I hope and I believe, you know, the goal is to have the proceeds from that, you know, go back into the nation to help, you know, get America to start producing a lot of this stuff again. I'm fully on board with that if that is the goal, Yaffe. I don't know about you.
Well, I think the goal really, it's so hard to say because yeah. I think the goal really is to pay down the deficits and the debt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to get more tax revenue so we don't have as much debt. The problem is you have kind of conflicting goals here because you have a tariff. If the tariff is to get tax revenue, that's one thing. But if it's to prevent, if it's to get people to buy less stuff from overseas, well, in the long run, you know, you get less tariffs. Mm-hmm. Or you get what I mean is you get less tax revenue.
Yeah.
So if we're buying less of that product, we're not getting as much as the tax revenue. So it's kind of like if the goal is to get tax revenue out of it, that's probably not going to happen because we're just going to buy less of the
Buy less of the imports. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes sense. You know, we're just a lot of this is like, you know, like you said, of, you know, I think the goal is because Trump is kind of, I mean, he's said a lot of this stuff for years, but.
Well, I don't think he ever explained why it's called Liberation Day.
Yeah. That is true. I mean, I guess we all just kind of assumed it's like, we're ending the unfair trade. We're, you know, liberating ourselves from all this unfair trade. But yeah, he never really said any. I mean, he just kind of self-declared it Liberation Day. It's like, oh, okay. I guess it's Liberation Day.
Are we liberating ourselves from what exactly?
Yeah. So. Also, Lisa from Huntsville texted in and said, JP, you're doing an awesome job today. Appreciate it. I agree with you about tariffs. Just let's wait and see. People keep quoting failed tariffs of history. McKinley's tariffs failed. The Smoot-Hatley or Hawley tariffs failed. But I think there's probably more to it than that. There's always more to the story than just one sentence in a history book. There's the why didn't it work, and sadly, I haven't tried to get down in the weeds and see if I can figure out why they failed. Just because we try something a second time does not mean it is destined to fail. Anyway, keep up the good work, and then hey to Yaffe. It's I want to say, like, the phrase that comes to mind is, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But this is tariffs are such a extreme, like, very few, you know, white, like, broad tariffs have been implemented. Like, it's rarely happened in America's history. And the
And she was talking about McKinley, right?
So yes,
it is true that, you know, pre-McKinley, we probably had way more tariffs than we have now. But we also didn't have the welfare state. We also didn't have the income tax. We also had a much smaller government that didn't need as much revenue. So if the, you know, if we had all of that and then we implement tariffs, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But right now we still have the income tax. We still have the welfare state.
That's
we still have $35 trillion in debt. So it's a little, she's right in the sense that you can't always judge completely from history because it's different then than it is now. But in some ways, that can mean it could be worse now.
That's true. A lot goes into it. It's not as, you know, straightforward as a lot of people on both sides like to say it is. The people who are bashing tariffs and then also the people that are, you know, fully on board with them. Like, it's a very complicated, you know, it's not as straightforward. There's a lot of factors that go into it. But yeah, I agree 100%. Well, we're on the the issue of home fries, or the segment of home fries, I should say, talking about some local legislative sessions that are going on within our listening area. So this is actually kind of...
Wait, you don't play the grease thing? Oh, you don't play the sound effect again?
I mean, I guess we have to. Yeah,
there we go. Good point.
You see, as a producer, normally I would have jumped in and did that, but now it's like, you know.
Okay, good.
My producer hat was off for just a second. Hey, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I would say this is breaking news, although it's expected. So I was going to talk about in this home fries segment that gambling is trying to rear its ugly head again towards the end of this legislative session, where All Britain, I think, filed legislation that it allowed a lottery. It had sports betting and electronic bingo at the six existing facilities, and then claimed it had better protection against illegal gaming than the gambling bill last year did, trying to make, you know, like, this is a new and improved gambling bill, trying to sneak it in towards the end. But Garland Gudger put out a memo saying, quote, "With 12 meeting days remaining in the session, both budgets still awaiting approval and other important bills and measures demanding focus and attention, the comprehensive gambling bill released today is simply too little, too late, and has too few votes to pass." Which I think I speak for everybody that, thank God, thank God, I'm so tired of talking about gambling in Alabama.
It's going to come back.
Oh, it will. I'm fully aware that it will. It's not going to go away forever, but I'm glad that it didn't, that this Hail Mary, it didn't happen this session. Let me just say, I'm glad it didn't happen this session.
Now, why is that? Why don't you like the bill?
See, it's, well, first of all, I think just the initial gut reaction is I'm tired of talking about it. Like, every time, I feel like every legislative session, it's just a laborious and it never has the votes, so it's just like, what's the point of even talking about it?
I know, it creates so much controversy, but it, like, usually doesn't pass anyway, yeah. So you're
and,
right.
And I just, if I could go down the gambling rabbit hole of, you know, look at the stats of how much, you know, I mean, even look at the human trafficking that's, like, linked with gambling in states that, like, have gambling, and all the extra crime that comes with gambling too, and then the illegal gaming aspect. Like, there's, it's not just, now if we want to have, like, a clean lottery, like, I guess I'm not too up in arms about that necessarily, but
hey, it paid for my college in Florida.
Yeah, like in our listening area, like, there's, you know, the states where the lottery has paid for a lot of y'all's kids' scholarships, your scholarships, like, it, there's a lot of great aspects to it, but it's just, I don't have much hopes that a clean lottery is ever going to happen, especially in Alabama with, it's just, I'm tired of talking about it. So I think that's the main, you know, reaction of,
oh yeah, in like 30 years when it's the JP show, and maybe you're even close to retirement or something, you're still going to be talking about this.
Yes.
That's my prediction.
Exactly. And, you know, it's, see, all my friends, you know, want this gambling bill to happen because of the sports betting. And I used to kind of be in that boat of, come on, man, I want to bet on a parlay. Like, what's the big deal? And I think as the more I've learned about the hit, not only the history of, like, the gambling bills that are tried to pass, but also, like, a lot of the people and lobbying groups that are associated with it, it's just, it doesn't, I don't get a good vibe from it at all. And I mentioned earlier all the other crimes linked to it and the human trafficking, you know, stats with states that have gang, like, it's stuff you wouldn't think about, and it's stuff that you wouldn't initially think. It's like, oh, it's just let people gamble. Like, what's the deal? What's the big deal? But then you go down the rabbit hole, and it's just something I don't really want to have in Alabama.
You know, I'm not really super against gambling, but one thing I do kind of worry about, which I think is why a lot of gambling was made illegal, at least in sports betting. You're a pretty big sports fan.
Yeah.
Are you afraid that it could, like, corrupt the sport itself? I wonder about that sometimes.
Well, we've already seen it. I mean, in the past, it's corrupted boxing and, like, all those, like, crazy, where the sort of the more unregulated, you know, sports leagues. And there's been some rumors about it happening before in, like, the NFL and stuff. But, I mean, gambling, it's pretty much, I mean, how many states left don't have gambling leagues? I think it's Alabama and Nebraska, and is that it? I'm pretty sure it's just,
yeah, I mean, different states have let it in different areas. But
yeah,
when you're talking about it being illegal, although Alabama does have it in the Poarch Creek Indian areas.
That's true.
So that's something. But you're right. For the most part, yeah, Alabama, it's illegal.
So I think it's pretty much widespread already. I don't – I mean, we're seeing, I don't know if you've seen, during the March Madness, there's been commercials about stop the hate.
Oh, it's everywhere. Yeah. It's crazy.
Of, you know, and I've seen it firsthand of some college kid makes a mistake, and then, I mean, he's getting literal death threats on Twitter because he messed up some random guy's parlay or something. Like, it's already starting to get out of control. Will it ever infiltrate, you know, the leagues like the NBA, the MLB? I don't really think so. I think they're too regulated, and there's too many, you know, governing bodies within those sports. But like a sport like boxing, you know, which back in the day was kind of the wild, wild west, we saw it firsthand. I mean, a lot of the mafia owned boxing, like they had fighters, and, you know, they had, you know, they tell guys to take a fall because they got money on it, or, you know, I've seen it. Not obviously, I didn't live through it, but I've seen examples of it in sports where it's kind of.
Well, that's what I had wondered. In. Yeah, I mean, it happened in baseball.
Yeah,
for instance, very famously. So it made me wonder if it would ever, if it becomes so widespread, it ends up like corrupting the sport again. I don't really have the answer to that. I tend to agree with you. Maybe, probably not, but it's something I think about sometimes.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, like I said, it's happened in baseball before, but I think we're kind of at a point now where, you know, a lot of the sports have been so mainstream. I mean, like MLB and NBA, like I feel like they've been around long enough that I would hope that it's not able to get infiltrated again. But I could be, you know, proven wrong.
And I would hope those players, like, they get paid a lot of money.
Yeah,
already.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You needed more money based on betting? Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, we got, what was it? Shohei Ohtani signed a $750 million contract for 10 years. Like, that's the money in baseball now. And that's a lot of the money in the NBA. And the NFL is maybe a little bit lower, but still, like, those guys' kids are already set. So I would hope, yeah, I agree. I would hope that would help it to not be infiltrated as well. But we'll see. I mean, sports, it's some of them that aren't as regulated. There's been a lot of rumors with some of these, like, some of these gimmick fights, like the Jake Paul fights, and those that there's been a lot of rumors that guys are taking falls in those. I mean, it could happen. They're just money grabs, but I would hope as a whole, it wouldn't be able to infiltrate the mainstream leagues like that. But we're gonna take a quick timeout, folks. We're gonna come back on the other side here. Keep talking about some home fries. We went down the gambling rabbit hole a little bit there. We're going to come back and talk about some other stuff that was passed in the Alabama legislative session, but also get into Tennessee, some Georgia as well. So make sure you stay tuned for that. This is Right Side Radio. JP and Yaffe filling in. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. This is JP here filling in for Phil while he's out today alongside with Yaffe. We have some texts that came in, by the way. 833-687-4448 is the text line number. Let us know your thoughts. So we have a text in from Shag Nasty the Atheist has texted in. By the way, yeah, Phil gave him that name. That was not a self-proclaimed name. Shag Nasty the Atheist has texted in. If we use gambling money to fund schools, people would be smart enough not to gamble. I'm not so sure about that.
I mean, I know. I feel like there are pretty smart people out there. It's still like the gamble.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me. A lot. So David at Bucky's texted in and said, JP, I believe if the voters in Alabama would approve of a clean lottery bill, a comprehensive gambling bill would have much more difficulty passing. There is too much special interest and not enough interest in the citizens of Alabama. That's, see, I'm not so sure that like a clean lottery bill, my hopes of that are low of ever happening.
If you pass the clean lottery bill, it adds a special benefit for the Poarch Creek Indians, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's too many special interests that are going to weave something in there. Like, I don't think a clean lottery bill is even possible.
But that texter is right. I mean, that's really what the people want. I mean, that's what the people of Alabama are interested in more than anything else.
Which, by the way, that this bill, or if a gambling bill ever got passed, it would approve it to be voted on by Alabama citizens. Like, it's not, like, am I correct in saying that? Like, it's not going to go straight into law. Like, it's approving for the Alabama citizens to vote for it.
Well, and Al Britton was going to have a special election. He was hoping it would be done in a special election, which I think it would pass. Mm. I mean, people that were going to show up are going to be people that wanted it to pass. Well, which,
It's an interesting point of it was the Senate Majority Leader earlier this week, Livingston. He said that they don't have enough votes because if you remember, Greg Reed, who was a senator that voted for it, is now a secretary, Greg yep. Reed, and so he was a yes. So now that's one less yes. So they're even, you know, they're losing. They've lost another vote in that as well. So they got a ultra, like, you know, I just don't see where the votes are, and a lot of people who are you know, inundated with, you know, the folks in Alabama politics in terms of, you know, who's a yes, who's a no. They don't see where the votes could come from either. So I don't know. I just I don't see it anytime soon.
I've said for a little bit now that the one thing that can motivate them to ever get this passed is if they really are serious about cutting taxes in other places. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're going to talk about the whole debate over extending the tax cut on overtime pay. Well, eventually, lawmakers are going to want to make up some of this revenue in another way.
Yeah.
Well, one way to make up the revenue without having to add an extra tax somewhere is through the lottery, is through taxing, gambling, and everything else. Because that, you know, that tax affects specific group of people, where if you're just taxing, raising income taxes or something like that.
Yeah.
And there is a big push to possibly start cutting the income tax rate. When you have our neighboring state, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
They're phasing it out completely. It's going to take like 20 years to do it, it seems like, but they're still trying to phase it out. If we want to do that here, well, we know lawmakers are going to want to make up at least some of that revenue somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And that could be what pushes them to finally pass something, but it's still going to be pretty hard.
I mean, I was going to bring that up too. The home fries, like, we look at neighboring states, Mississippi's getting or attempting to get rid of theirs income tax. I mean, Tennessee doesn't have one, and it's like, the neighboring states around us, and, you know, Florida, they're getting more done than an Alabama supermajority. But you look, and our Alabama legislator, they can't even find enough money to keep an overtime tax exemption going. So it's like, my hopes of a state income tax ever going away in Alabama, at least anytime soon, is pretty low. The only thing would, like you said, would be a gambling, you know, the tax on gambling would be, I mean, that's really the only thing I think off the top of my head that would
and that would
do the
make
job.
Up enough revenue mm-hmm. to completely replace it. It would replace some of the revenue, and it depends obviously where the lottery money goes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with Mississippi, the way they're doing it is they're phasing it out by 2037, so that's 12 years. So it's little by little each year, and they're hoping economic growth will kind of make up for some of that. So if we ever do it in Alabama, it's going to have to be like what they're doing in Mississippi. It's going to have to be phased out very, very slowly, even slower than we're trying to phase out the grocery tax.
Yeah. Real quick before the break, we got TL from Huntsville texting in. JP, remember that gambling not only corrupts the political process, it also affects the surrounding communities with increased crime, lower property values. Casinos also often get located in areas where the community police are not funded well enough to handle the burden. This has been documented by OJP.gov, the Office of Justice Programs. Yeah, agree 100% on everything you said there, T.O. But we're going to come back and wrap up, answer some of y'all's texts that are still coming in right now, and wrap up Home Fries, wrap up the show, and get y'all home. This is Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. This is JP here filling in for Phil while he is out in Yaffe alongside me as well. So we've been in the topic of Home Fries here, talking about some local legislative sessions and what they got going on. What are they actually achieving here? Sorry, though. I feel the wind blew in the window and scared me there. I knocked over a sign right next to me. What was going on?
Tornadoes already coming over.
Yeah, that was a knocked over a sign right here. Scared the crap out of me. So we got, you know, we've been talking about Alabama, and, you know, we talked about gambling there for several segments. I opened it up. I talked about some of the stuff that they've passed that I have not been a big fan of, like the Glock switch ban, the ADVA restructuring bill, the no overtime tax exemption. It looks like the clock's ticking for them to, you know, extend that. The deadline for that, I mean, the session ends May 15th. If they don't extend it, it expires June 30th. But, they did pass the What Is a Woman Act, which to me is kind of low-hanging fruit. Like, it's great. Should have been mm-hmm. done years ago. So props to them for doing that. I also mentioned about the House approved a grocery tax cut, which is good, but it's kind of already going to happen anyways. But well, let's look to Tennessee, also in our listening area. They passed the Education Freedom Act of 2025, so their school choice bill has passed. So props to that. I think that's one of the few things that Alabama actually, you know, beat Tennessee on, you know, legislatively.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there are a lot of conservatives in Tennessee who are not huge fans of this school choice bill. Conservatives pretty split on it. I tend to be of the opinion that it was better than nothing, that it was a good start. But there definitely needs to be more that happens in the future.
So what was it that conservatives were having issues with on the bill specifically?
Well, one was the funding, because they added a bunch of extra funding. It was almost like a bribe to the teachers union to give teachers a raise. They added some extra funding there. It wasn't really universal school choice, still pretty limited. And, you know, there are some conservatives that just don't like the idea of the government getting involved in private schools. That's how they see it. Now, I think that you can have protections on the other end and protect the private schools while also allowing more students to go to the private schools.
Yeah. I mean, I think, listen, I mean, I'm a big school choice, but I think the Choose Act in Alabama has been great. And I'm, you know, very much a pro school choice guy. Yeah, but I'm glad to see Tennessee pass it. But that's interesting. I wasn't aware that there was a split there amongst conservatives. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, from what you said, you know, it would be kind of concerning for some conservatives up there. But props to Tennessee for getting that passed, though. They also passed us out some Helene rebuilding, $450 million to rebuild for
that was low hanging fruit too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. They got a bill up to end the grocery tax up there. They instituted an immigration enforcement division, within Tennessee, which, you know, I'm not sure if, I mean, obviously Alabama is, you know, complying with it, but I think this is one of the first ones I've seen, like, create a whole, you know, enforcement division specifically for immigration within the state of Tennessee. And it was obviously, you know, disputed from the other side of the aisle. It did not pass very easily, but they were able to get that passed within this legislative session up there. And we know we mentioned Tennessee phasing out the income tax, which I think
Mississippi.
Shifting over to Mississippi here. You know, shifting or phasing out the income
Tennessee
tax.
Tennessee doesn't have a state income.
Yeah, they haven't had. Yeah, but you know, with Mississippi doing that, I don't know. Yeah, Yaffe, tell me if I'm wrong with this. And we talked about it earlier about how, you know, this is not like an immediate end. They're going to have to phase it out. And if Alabama were to do the same, it would have, or were to eliminate the state income tax, it probably have to do the same. Call me crazy. I feel like Alabama's economy is in a much better place than Mississippi's is. I mean, just simply alone from what's in Huntsville, and you know, throughout the whole state as well. I mean, not just Huntsville. I feel like Alabama is in a much better place to at least start the process to eliminate the state income tax than Mississippi is. I feel like it's kind of embarrassing that Mississippi was able to get that done before Alabama was.
Yeah, although you could argue that they're very desperate to get their economy going, so they're willing to try anything.
That's true,
so that could be a part of it as well. Usually when I hear Alabama, and this debate comes up about the state income tax, usually what I hear is, and this is what you're going to hear from Republicans, that we're already a very low-taxed state, that when you take in property taxes, for instance, Alabama has very low property taxes. First, maybe some of these states that don't have state income taxes. So usually they'll say we'll have the lowest tax burden in the country. It's just one of the tax burdens is the state income tax, where other states, they might put it in other places, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. It's just, I don't know, whenever I first saw that story of, you know, Mississippi at least starting the process for it, I don't know. I hate to bash on Mississippi. It's not bashing on Mississippi. I'm sorry. But I don't know. I just feel like Alabama is in a much better position to do that. And yet we're over here, you know, arguing about the overtime tax and that stuff. It's like, I don't know. It's like if Mississippi is getting their act together with that, I feel like Alabama should at least. And I'm sure like conservatives down there would love to do that. Unfortunately, I feel like, and this is not just with the state income tax issue, with a lot of issues, is they're complacent. And
I agree with that completely.
The supermajority in Alabama oftentimes is like, you wouldn't guess it. I mean, it's like that they're kind of lazy and complacent with a lot of things. And stuff like
that. And Tennessee's like that too, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm sure that, it, you know, I'm not as inundated in the Tennessee politics, but I'm sure that, you know, a lot of that is the same there too. It's just, you know, I see Kay Ivey endorsing, you know, stuff like the Glock switch ban. I see Kay Ivey leading the pack on, you know, stuff like the ADVA restructured. And I don't know, there's too many times I feel like we're not living in a Republican supermajority in Alabama.
I'll tell you why that is. I mean, you talked about complacency.
Yeah.
It's because they know that they can get away with some of that. I mean, it would get to a point, if they were going too far to the left, it would get to a point that they would be thrown out by the conservatives voting. Mm-hmm. But they kind of make sure not to go too far. But at the end of the day, they go, okay, well, you're not going to vote for a Democrat.
Yeah.
You know, until voters in this state, in Alabama, really get focused on primaries. And yes, if they don't like what somebody's doing, they can primary them out. Unfortunately, and this is a problem nationwide, and not enough people participate in the primaries. Mm-hmm. So when you have a supermajority legislature and you have pretty much most people in the state are going to vote Republican, all they have to do is be the Republican. All they have to do is get elected that first time, and they're going to be like, yeah, I'm not a perfect conservative, but you're not going to vote for the Democrat.
Yeah.
So that's here true. I am.
It's a lot of Democrats and Republican disguise, you know, within these. It's unfortunate. And by the way, like, I'm not claiming that there's like radical liberals hiding amongst the Republicans, but I mean, there's stuff that they don't have a drive and motivation to accomplish conservative, you know, agendas.
Well, school choice was a great example. It took a lot of effort to get that done for years, to get that done, even though we've had a supermajority Republican for a while.
Yeah. And I mean, in Alabama, I feel like the What Is a Woman Act could have been done quite some time. I mean, that seems like one of like, okay, what's the point? But then you think about it, until a couple of months ago, Alabama didn't even have a definition for a woman. Like, it's and in this day and age where that is like crucial, it's kind of unfortunate. Like, it took up until 2025 to get that done. But then, you know, like I said, it's, and I don't mean to, you know, overly bash Kay Ivey, but there's some stuff like I'm seeing within this legislative session that she's really like leading the charge on, that I'm just kind of like, okay, that I wouldn't really guess a Republican governor would be leading the charge on that. Like,
oh, she is definitely not a conservative leader like, say, a Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. Now, Kay Ivey years ago used to be a Democrat.
Yeah.
But so that's part of it. But it really is just she, you know, Republicans really were not going to participate in a primary against Kay Ivey. She becomes a Republican. They're not going to vote for a Democrat against her.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have the motivation to be as conservative because the competition isn't there.
Yeah. And then, you know, alongside, you know, I've mentioned it several times throughout the show already, but like the fact that we got Republicans who are, you know, struggling to vote for tax cuts on stuff. I don't know. You know, I look at, so far, you know, there's been good stuff done in the Alabama legislative session so far, but then there's also some stuff that's kind of makes you feel like you're not living in a Republican, you know, supermajority state. And it's unfortunate. And I mean, I know me and Phil have had this conversation almost every time we talk about the Alabama legislative session about complacency with stuff.
Well, he lived it. He was there.
Very much, yeah. And he's talked about his experiences there. But it's I don't know. I know it could be worse, obviously. It very much could be worse. But it'd be nice to see, you know, as this legislative session is starting to wrap up, you know, kind of earlier in the session, you know, some of the stuff that was getting, you know, floated around, like the Glock switch ban, which I wouldn't have even guessed that was going to get passed, but it did, and stuff like that. I, you know, just kind of tell myself, you know, there's still time in the session, but we're kind of nearing the end, and I'm not sure what other stuff. I mean, I get there's over a month, but I mean, there's only 12 meeting days in the session left. I mean, there's not a ton of time to get much more done.
Well, you're really focused on the tax cut on overtime pay, and I think it's purposeful. The Republicans got really scared because that report came out that they lost a lot more revenue than they thought. Now, Anthony Daniels is making a very conservative argument. He's basically saying, one, we don't know if all that revenue would have been there, because you're assuming that the overtime workers would still have worked overtime. But maybe they didn't. Maybe they're working more because it's tax-free now. He's making a very conservative argument that when you cut taxes, you create more productivity, which creates economic growth in the long run. It should be the Republicans making that argument, not the Democrats.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the issues.
Yeah, and then if you try to vote alongside the Democrat, you're going against your team, and it's looked down upon. All that being said, the bottom line, you know, I thought it was a good time, you know, summarizing, you know, what's been going on in the legislative session in our listening area, some stuff that has been accomplished, but also some stuff that, you know, maybe, you know, constituents need to hold their, you know, representatives, their feet to the fire a little bit to get some stuff done that has not been gotten done yet, you know, because we're kind of nearing the end here. By the way, Shagnassi the Atheist texted in, said, quote, "Mississippi does it might be the worst justification for everything. Remind me if they're ranked higher than 50-50 for anything." You just proved my point exactly. If Mississippi did it and they're at the bottom of everything, then Alabama really should have done it a long time ago. That's exactly my point, Shagnassi the Atheist. I know what you're trying to say is that if Mississippi gets away with a state income tax, then it's probably a bad thing, which I would disagree. I mean, look, Florida doesn't have it, and they're, you know, a booming economy. And look, it's, you know, that was my whole point, Shagnassi. Mississippi is, like, at the bottom of everything. So if they can do it, surely the Alabama supermajority with a much better economy can get it done as well. But anyways, hey, folks, we're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back on the other side here, wrap up the show, send y'all home here on this thankful Thursday. But this is JP filling in for Phil. We'll be right back.